Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, our Healer. Amen. The readings for today have to do with three things, basically. They have to do with seeing, the act of seeing. They have to do with obeying, the act of obeying. And they have to do with the act of giving thanks, of thankfulness. Now, Luke begins the gospel for today telling us that Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem. Now, whoever knows the story already knows what Jesus is going to do in Jerusalem. They know what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, already two times he has told his disciples what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He's going there to die. He's going there to suffer humiliation. He's going there to be crucified and to die. And we know, because we have read the story, that when he gets to the Mount of Gethsemane, he's going to sweat blood because he's so anxious, because he is grieving his death. However, here, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he is able to see a group of lepers that approach him and that ask for help. You see, sometimes when we are on our way to grief, when we are on our way to our own sadness, when we have been diagnosed with a terminal illness, when we have a loved one that is suffering and then can die, it is very easy to become so immersed in the grief and in the suffering that we cannot see anything outside our own grief, our own suffering. We cannot see anything outside this, the fear of what's about to happen. Now, the Lord teaches us a way that is different. He teaches us that in spite of what he knows that is going to happen, and he knows for sure that this is going to happen, he is still able to see his brothers and sisters that are also on their own journeys to different kinds of suffering and grieving. He's able to see them. And so he sees these 10 lepers that are approaching him and crying for help. They say, "Lord, help us." And then he does something very strange. He does not even tell them, "You're healed, you're cured." He sends them to the priest. Now, leprosy was an illness that, in addition to being sick, because you were believed to be contagious, you were also believed to be impure. And so if you got healed from leprosy, you needed a certificate. You needed to have a certificate saying that you were now allowed back in the community. Otherwise, you have to be outside the community. There were communities that were special for lepers, leprosy communities. And when the lepers were outside that community and they were walking around, they were required to say out loud whenever they saw other people, "Impure, impure, impure," so that people would not come too close to them. So these lepers come to Jesus and they ask for help. And Jesus sends them, go to the priest, present yourself to the priest. And amazingly, they obey. They believe. They act as if what they had asked for had already been granted to them. They walk by faith. And then, so that as they were on their way to see the priest, they were healed. They were healed. And then it says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, here's the verb again, to see. When he saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus. Now, I noticed something very interesting. We pray a lot when we need help. We pray a lot when we are in trouble. We pray a lot when we are sick or where our loved ones are sick. But sometimes we miss the miracle. Sometimes we get better. Sometimes we get healed. Sometimes things turn out to be favorable for us. But we don't see the way that this leper saw it. We miss the miracle. We think, I dodged the bullet, right? That came close. But we don't see the miracle. Perhaps it's because we are a little bit like Naaman. Perhaps it's because we have an idea of how it is that God acts, right? I was sick, I want to pray, and I want all of a sudden the clouds to open and the beam of light to come down, and exactly then I get better. Then I know that was God that healed me. But when it's through the IV fluid, when it's through the doctors, when it's through the technicians, when it's through technology, we don't realize that the hand of God is also at work there, as I preached about a couple Sundays ago. That God's work is not in spite of medicine, it's not in spite of science, it's not in spite of technology, but God's work is with, in, and under all those things. God is at work there. Yes, there are other ways in which God works. There are miracles. But miracles are for something else. You see, how many lepers got healed that day? in the gospel. 10, right? But only one of them saw that he had been healed and went back to Jesus. And then he prostrated himself before Jesus. That word in Greek, to prostrate yourself, is the same word as worship. So he came to worship Christ. And then Christ saw him and said, were there not 9 that were healed? And only this foreigner comes back? And then he says, because of your faith, you have been made well. Because of your faith, you have been made well. Here's another Greek word, to be made well. Well, all of them were made well, right? The gospel tells us that they all got healed. They didn't go back to being sick because they were ungrateful. They are still healed. But the gospel says that they were all made well. That word, made well, can mean healing. It can also be made whole, or it can also mean be saved. So not only was he healed of his physical illness, but he was saved that day. Only one was saved, and he was saved by faith. Now, God's grace is much wider than we imagined, and it reaches beyond what we expected to reach. I think that sometimes these stories, they have a bite that we miss because we are so used to them. So if I had to retell the story, I would probably have to say that there were 10 men, and to use a more contemporary illness that has a stigma to it, although not as much as a couple years ago, we would say there were 10 men that had AIDS, and those 10 men came to Jesus, and they asked for help. And then Jesus sent them back to the doctor so that the doctor could certify that they were healed. But then one of them came back when he saw that he was healed. And then he worshiped Christ. And that one man was a Muslim. And now you feel what the original listeners of this story felt. Because the Samaritans were the heretics in the minds of the Jewish community of which Jesus belonged. The Samaritans were the heretics, the outsiders. So this man was a leper. He was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. And yet that one was the one that was saved. And he was saved by faith. Not because of the group that he belonged to, not because of his ethnicity, not because of his race, but he was saved by faith. He was saved because he believed that this man that he had encountered really was the presence of God there to heal him and to give him God's grace. Now, there's the second lesson that we have to learn from this gospel reading. And is that we often act in the church as if we were a franchise of God's grace, as if we were a franchise that had exclusivity rights to God's grace. Whether it's only the EOCA Lutherans or Lutherans in general or Christians, but we often act as if the church had a franchise and exclusivity rights on God's grace. But gospel story after gospel story challenges that. And it teaches us that in reality, the church is just a group of lepers that have been healed. And they have recognized that they have been healed by Christ. And have come back and keep coming back Sunday after Sunday to prostrate themselves before Christ, to worship Christ, and to give thanks. That's another interesting word, to give thanks, Eucharistion. Sounds familiar, Eucharist. To give thanks, an act of thanksgiving. Once Martin Luther was asked to explain the church, and he said the church is like that leper that came back. So that is what the church is. We are the group of lepers. We are the group of people that have been sick, that have been in need of God's grace, and have found God's grace. And we are here to give thanks to God. But there's one more thing about the story that is interesting, and that is relevant to our work as the church. It's where the story happens. Now, biblical scholars think that Luke was not very good with geography because he says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and that he was walking in the region between Samaria and Galilee. And they say there is no region between Samaria and Galilee. There's just a strict border. There's Samaria and then there's Galilee, but there's nothing in between the two. And so they say maybe it's because Luke was writing away from that region, and he didn't really know it. Others believe that he is making a theological point, that it is precisely in those regions in between that God is at work. It is precisely erasing those borders that is the work of God. Later on in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to see, that's Luke's second book, the Holy Spirit bringing down those barriers that divide Gentile versus Jew, man versus woman, etc. And so it is in that region, in that border, that Jesus on purpose goes to bring about the grace of God. And so we as a church, we too are called to transgress borders. We too are called to go to those places where we build walls, where we build fences, where we build barriers to keep outside those that we are afraid of, either because they are contagious or because we are afraid of them. But we are called as a church to go to those border places, to those borderlands, and to open our eyes, to not be blinded by our own fears, by our own grief, but to open our eyes and to see, to be able to see the other, to be able to see the other in need, and to be able to see not only the other, but the work of God in the midst of the other, a work that we are being called to continue. So as the church, we have received the benefit of God's grace, but then we are also called to be carriers, to be workers, to be collaborators in God's grace. Now, there are many, many such regions today. I think that the one that is closest to our hearts today might be Haiti, at least to me, because of the Hurricane Matthew that devastated that country. And last time that the death toll was over 800. And so I have, I really don't like to just preach. I like to act as well. And so I don't know if it was if it made it to your bulletins or if it's is it in your bulletin? There's an insert. Yes. And so I invite you to pray for the people of Haiti and all the other victims of the Hurricane Matthew and other natural disasters. And I invite you to look at these resources so that you can learn more about what's happening, not only the ones that the media cover, but also other disasters that we don't know anything about. And that you pray to see how God can help you and me and us to make a difference in the lives of others. So that is the gospel for today. That is the invitation of God for today. We're invited to see, we're invited to obey, and we're invited to give thanks. May we do so. Amen.